The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night and said to him,
Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God.
And Jesus answered him,
Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above.
How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?
Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished by what I said to you. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Well, how can these things be?
Are you a teacher of Israel? And yet you do not understand these things. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. In school, there was one subject that I never enjoyed. I saw the importance of science and math and, of course, religion, but I hated grammar. And what put me over the edge was dissecting sentences. Does anybody remember doing that? So you've got these lines, right? It was all so complicated. You have horizontal lines, you have vertical lines, you have dotted lines, and I was already struggling with the parts of speech, and dissecting sentences crossed the line into my firm hatred with grammar. Now, it turns out that parts of speech kind of matter in our language, and who would have thought, right? And to understand the impact of today's gospel, we must understand verbs and nouns. We must understand verbs and nouns so that we can best grasp the word belief. Now, in today's reading, we heard the word believe, and in fact, we had the same Greek word, pistuo, 7 times in today's reading. Now, it was translated as believed and believes and believe in English, but now here's something really important. And if you take away nothing else from today, know this. Believe is always a verb in John. It is never a noun. Believe is always a verb in John. It is never a noun. So why does that matter? Well, often people think that belief is stagnant. We start the creeds with, I believe in... And sometimes we think that with our creeds, we're only consenting to a doctrine or a specific structure. When in the book of John, believe is actually a verb. Believing is an action that does, not an object or a thing that one can possess. Believing is active. To believe moves. And siblings in Christ, I'm going to get real with you here for a few moments. We have a problem in the church. And not specifically here at Wicker Park Lutheran Church, but across all of the United States and well beyond. There is a growing concern with the purpose of the church. Some say that the leadership is becoming too political, and these folks are getting nervous about the current political climate and how that aligns with the message of Christ. And frankly, I'm with them. The message of Christ is unsettling. It is challenging, and it has political implications. Now, to be clear, the phrase political implications does not mean that it's connected to a particular government party or a particular government structure or even a particular government ideology. However, it does mean that Christianity has something to say to those who govern. Here's what I mean. The church and our faith are rooted in Jesus' teaching to love God, to love neighbors, and to love self. Jesus clearly and repetitively rejects fear. Jesus clearly and repetitively focuses on relationality. Jesus clearly and repetitively loved all people. And it's a simplistic formula, yet so many things get in the way. We make idols out of success. We prioritize our physique. We make money our goal. We trick ourselves into thinking that happiness is the ultimate endgame. We idolize safety. We latched on to the known, and we look to the worldly leaders to bring us salvation. Still, that is not Jesus' message. That's not a biblical message in any way. That's an entirely different message. Instead, we are compelled by Christ's example to engage. We speak against anything that is opposed to Jesus' life-giving and loving mission. Back in 1979, well before our current political climate, Lutherans put it in this way. The church is the people of God, called and sent to minister under God's authority in the world. And we are called to be creative critics of social order. We are called to advocate for the needy. We are called to improve human dignity. And we are called to support good order, justice, and harmony. That's what the Lutherans said in 1979. Or put another way, from our denominational website, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, here's what they say. As a public church, we have a responsibility to step outside our comfort zones and challenge ourselves to address issues that affect families and communities and neighbors throughout the world. As a church body, we use our prophetic voice boldly to address important political, social, and economic issues that affect both local and global communities. And here's the key part. This work grows out of our theological understanding of God at work in the world. You see, we don't just make up our own sense of justice. We don't just flounder around in our own direction in the church. We look at Christ's example of justice. For this is Christ's table, not my table, not your table. This is Christ's font, not my font or your font. And this is Christ's church, not my church or your church. And in today's reading, Jesus reminds Nicodemus of the appearance of Christ's church. We come to trust God when we are made new in water and the Spirit. For it is in our baptism that we promise to strive for Christ's justice and peace. And we commit to a new life in baptism where we seek to bring about the kingdom of God. Now, wait a second there. Kingdom of God. That's a phrase that Jesus says a lot, over and over and over again. So take a moment and think on a scale of 1 to 10, the phrase kingdom of God, is it political? 10 being the most political, 1 being completely not political. Is the phrase kingdom of God political on a scale of 1 to 10? Anybody want to share their thoughts? Okay, who's got 1 to 3? Who's got 4 to 6? 4 to 7? Let's do 4 to 7. Okay, so kind of in the middle. And who's got 8 or above? Okay, so we are split just like across. I mean, some of you are just like, I don't know. I'm listening to the kids run around in the back. And Grant was like perfect. We couldn't have planned the Kyrie better. With his crying, as he cries out, and we think about that's what Kyrie is about, right? Crying out for justice and for peace. It was perfect. So, where does that statement land? On a scale of 1 to 10, well, this statement in Jesus' time would probably be about a 9 or a 10 on the political scale. It is a highly political statement. Remember, Jesus is living in the kingdom of Caesar. And the phrase kingdom of God is saying that it's God's principles that dictate how people are to be treated. And while Jesus doesn't tell the government the best way to do things, he does advocate for a particular world view. Or in other words, Jesus advocates for particular policies that impact the general public. The kingdom of God is a political statement. And each Sunday, you and I as Christians proclaim that same sense of advocacy as we pray the Lord's Prayer, saying, Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. This is a statement of protest as much as it is a statement of surrender. This is a political statement as much as it is a spiritual declaration. This is a clear proclamation that we don't come here to pat ourselves on the back, but rather we come here to explore how God's love might propagate more fully in the world. We come here to explore the stories of faithful believers and how they've seen God working in, with, and through them. We come here to learn to trust more deeply in our loving God. And so for us as Christians, the real question that we're sent forth with is not if we should be active in the world, but rather it's how far are we willing to go? And today's gospel reminds us that our God went far, incredibly far. Jesus gave himself fully. He was beaten and tortured and lifted up on a cross and took his last gasping breath. For that is how far Jesus was willing to go to prove his love to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And I have to say that translation is pretty weak, for the Greek word here for world is cosmos, and throughout the rest of the Gospel of John, it is designated as something that is hostile to God. So a better translation might be, for God so loved the God-hating world. And it was into that God-hating world that God sent Christ, not to condemn the world, even though the world hated God, but instead Christ was sent to save this messed-up world so that everyone who believes, or better translated, as everyone that actively trusts in God's liberating sense of love, might be set free. You see, nothing could separate God from being in deep relationship with you, a relationship of dependence, where we are the children and God is the loving parent, a relationship where we fully trust God's grace and provisions, a relationship where we can be sent out to then be in relationship with the immigrant and the poor and the lonely and the fearful and the hurting and the refugee and any other person who stands on the outside looking in. And so today's gospel story begs the question, how far are you willing to go to actively participate in God's reign of love? Well, we hear of Nicodemus and how he first came to Jesus in the dark of night, and we will see Jesus again in the Gospel of John. Any ideas how many times we see John, or how many times we see Nicodemus in the Gospel of John? This is my attempt to bring you back. Some of you are, I know that I don't have many stories in this one. This is much more theological. Throw a number out there. Go for it. Is that four? I got four, I got three. Anybody else? Five? If you don't give a number, I'm gonna make you come up here and dance. Two, everybody started popping numbers up. So we see Nicodemus a total of three times in the Gospel of John. This is the first time we see Nicodemus. And in a few chapters, we'll see Nicodemus again. And then we'll see Nicodemus after Jesus has died. And Nicodemus will never come out of the dark. But he will start to actively trust Jesus more. And that's often true of our faith, too. We are timid. We are uncertain. We don't know what to do. And we have fears and reservations. We live in the shadow of Christ. But have we really come to discover eternal life? Have we fully embraced the love of God? God's love given to this God-hating world? Have we helped to share this kingdom of God to the world? Well, the story of Nicodemus is only one of many great stories of faith that we find in the scriptures. And each Sunday we gather to be inspired and challenged as we step into these stories. And at this year's Easter Vigil, we'll deeply immerse ourselves in a variety of scriptural passages. Now, if you've ever been to an Easter Vigil before, has anybody been to a vigil before? Okay, so we got like four or five people. So there's 12 appointed readings. It's a lot of readings. I'm not going to force that all onto you. We're going to do six, so that's half. We're going to do six readings, and on that night, we're going to gather next door. It's going to be dimly lit. We're going to be holding candles, and we're going to have a variety of people dramatically help us engage with these texts. For in those six texts, we will discover new images of what new life means in Christ's resurrection. We will gather at the font then to witness and remember the birth of water and the Spirit. And then we will be sent having learned a bit more about ourselves. So I hope you can join us on the Easter Vigil this year. All right, This is our summary paragraph. Come back to me if you're having troubles. I know we've jumped forward. I'm surprised you're all here. So that's great. Thank God for cell phones these days, right? Well, these stories of faith are powerful. They're compelling and they're transformational. And what we discover in John today is that believe is a verb. And we don't sit here as nouns, but we get to work as verbs. For we are sent into the light to expose injustice. We are sent to love all people. We are urged to speak out against any and all injustice. For God so loved this God-hating world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who actively trusts in God's liberating sense of love might be set free. That is God's work completed with our hands. And Nicodemus' story makes me wonder, how far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? And no matter where you land with that question, be reminded that you are loved and that God goes to the ultimate extreme to show you that love. Amen.